At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League podcast, a show hosted by LeZero, the man of a thousand rants, and Wabbit, the fan favorite. This show details the latest news in the Rocket League scene, esports results, and tips and tricks on how to get better at the game, while sometimes they'll just take a random topic and see where it takes them. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy.
Hello and welcome back to the ASAP Rocket League podcast. Wabs, did that throw you off?
It did. It really did. What happened? Why? Explain.
Hey, listen, I like to foreshadow, okay?
Okay.
Soon TM, soon TM, as they say in the biz. So what that means, you'll see. I don't know. I feel like I've pretty much ruined it, the surprise, but that's fine. We might as well throw this. This is the 2024 recap episode. We are going to do an update episode with all the things going on. So definitely, be on the watch out for that. And hopefully that's sooner rather than later, because I want to get that episode out. We're not getting rid of the weekly technically. Okay. Because I am a registered business.
Yep. So we're not going to change the business name.
So we are the ASAP Weekly Network.
Yes.
However, all the podcasts henceforth will be ASAP and then whatever the podcast is.
We're not exactly a weekly network anymore.
No. It's what I should have done from the beginning. I should have never used. I should have registered as the ASAP Network. But here we are.
Choices were made, and we live with those choices.
We live with those choices. So this is the things that we'll be saying. I don't think I'll do a... I've already, for anyone who's noticed, changed the Zelda and Poke... No, the Zelda and the anime logos to ASAP. And I've already changed the title of this to ASAP.
Oh my God.
I don't know if I'll change the logo, though, because the logo is kind of iconic. So
yeah, it is.
It'd be hard to, like... go back on Dave here,
I know.
And like, I think we just keep the logo. I think I'm just accepting it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, we're just going to call it the ASAP this. The listeners have already been calling it an ASAP for the longest time anyway, okay?
Yeah.
And like, I've lost this war, let's be clear. So,
and you're
I'm just giving
finally
it.
Finally waving the white flag.
I've let many innocents die.
Finally throwing up the forfeit button after...
When it's already, the war has been over for 2 years or 3 years. Yeah. Pretty much. This is the ASAP Rock League podcast going on 6 years. How do you feel about that, Abs?
Oh my God, it's 6 years?
Yeah.
Wait, it's only been 6 years?
I mean, yes.
Wait, hold up. I need to think about time. Because what I saw recently, and this is the only reason I'm surprised by this, is that we're on the 10th year anniversary, I think this month or something, of Rocket League. And I didn't realize that we were 4 years after the start.
Well,
we totally were.
2019. So yeah.
No, we were.
January 2019. So there you go.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
We did a whole like 5th year thing last year, right?
Yeah, we did.
Well, I guess 4th year was more eventful. Like we did more for the 4th year than the 5th year almost. I was getting all the people together. And Wabs, we're just sticking to the core here, okay? Just us two. How do you feel about that? Not having friends around. You're trapped. You're trapped with me.
We're all the friends I need.
Eternally.
I'm never leaving this basement. I am not the basement dweller.
Yeah. For those of you, you may be surprised, but Wabs is in fact still in the same room that when we started recording the show in 2019.
I've never left.
It has. We've been like keeping illusions that our lives have moved on, but we're both just I'm the floor above.
Yeah,
Wabs is the floor below, and we actually don't exist outside of the, like, all the romance corner stuffs. Great fan fiction, you know.
Great
what I mean?
Fanfics. I actually love those. That's you're really flexing your story writing prowess.
People have been like, "When are you going to write the book?" It's like, this has been the written. Book the whole time.
Yeah. It's been being written, and you've been reading it with your ears,
like. You just got Truman Showed or something. I don't know. But the point is, we don't actually exist aside of this. Like, no. It is every waking moment I get mm-hmm. up and I'm like, got to get ready for that next week's show. Okay. Yep. And they're like, well, it's not even weekly now anymore. Well, okay. You try doing only thinking about a podcast every week and then try being creative after 6 years. Okay.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, no, I need a month to kind of, you know.
Okay. What I like about this the most is that we're both teachers, and everybody knows that teachers don't exist outside of school. So where we live is actually just the basement of the school because we're not allowed to leave. But we actually also do this.
We actually, yeah, we've rebuilt the rooms we started the podcast in the basement of the school.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, it's this kind of temporal thing. You kind of have to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Speaking of figuring things out, I want to figure out the best way to thank our lovely patrons who have kept this show going for 6 years. Not a lie. Objectively, not a lie.
Very true.
You are amazing. You help us out. They've been with us thick through thin and hopefully to many more years in the future. So let me thank. All right. I have to do the stuff for all of them now.
Yeah.
Which I honestly should have done like a long time ago. Like, Arak was getting far, far too much preferential treatment. Yeah, okay.
I was thinking for a second. I should have said it. Where did that start?
I just pronounced Arak wrong.
And you still do, I think.
Arak is the way to pronounce it.
It's Arak? Okay.
Yeah, I know. We've made it Arook, like through.
Yeah, and it is. Through and through, it is Arook.
And that's Arook's shout out. Nothing yep. special except for that, because that's already far more airtime than the other names. But let me thank Zodiac 22. Too much space. Chaos Maker. Space Bear. Frank. Awesomeness. Digital Toast. And Young Soak, you guys are awesome. Thank you much for your continued support.
Yep.
This makes me feel the most like a, you know, 2014, 15 YouTuber, you know, that shout out segment. I'm like, it's like, it is meaningful, but like, I wonder at what point your soul leaves. Like, if I had to do 100 of these, like, is it no longer personal, you know?
Probably. At some point, like, you do. Just if you never have interactions with them and there's only so many, it's just really going to be the name scrolling on the screen in the last 5 minutes of the episode that nobody reads, everybody skips, and everybody knows. The modern meta for patron names,
of course.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that nobody knows, we're gonna get into Beginner's Corner, which
nobody
is actually
knows.
Yeah, nobody knows anything about Rocket League. No. Even though we've been in the show for 6 years, they still haven't learned. Okay, no. They listen to our show. They're like, oh, that's nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then they're like, let me forget all that mm-hmm. and go into game.
I'd like to say that I am one of those people.
Well, you can't listen to yourself, okay?
No, I would never.
That'd be too narcissistic, honestly.
I am a hypocrite.
No, it's not the hypocrisy. It's actually like humbling thyself, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
In order to not appear arrogant.
I'm just being a better person by not listening to my own advice.
Oh, boy. Beginner's Corner. Last week, we did an episode mm-hmm. where you mentioned something. Yep. Sorry, you know what I mean.
Yes.
Listen, the weekly's disappeared, but it's still there, okay? Mm-hmm. In spirit. I will continue to say last week. Even
time
if you do
exist.
A show 5 months apart, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, to tell you the truth, we've actually been doing the show for the last 6 years weekly continuously. And these are like we've time traveled in the future and we do this show and then we come back and that way there, like we're not even alive at this point. We've just booked like 100 years of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
It's all predictive power. It's not actually, we're talking about foundation here. It was all statistics. That's it.
And speaking of foundations, how many more transitions can I do? Yeah, beginner's corner. We talked about using boost kind of like as you're doing your double jump, right? Or speed jump into the air, like keeping that boost button held. And it's really for what? Is for the aerial after? Like when do you?
Wait, I'm curious. Second. That's this, not what I said.
What did you say? This
okay,
is good. Good.
So
this is good
speed jumping, which we've talked about many a time. Long years and years ago, six-ish years ago now. That was the, I think it's speed or fast jump. Fast aerials?
Yeah.
Is that the name? Yeah. I haven't thought about that in
so
long.
We're actually about to get a beginner's score. This is
I know. I haven't thought about that in so long that I forgot the name. So fast aerials are when you're jumping and you're holding boost at the same time, and then you time your boost correct or your jumps correctly with your releasing of the trigger. Or not the trigger, the... what's the directional input thing? I forget what it's called. But yes, your left thumb. You get rid of that at the right time so you don't flip. That's fast aerial. That uses your... The big thing about that you do have to remember is that you want to be boosting during the start of the jump. That's okay. Going to change for the actual beginners out there, if you exist. That will change based on situation because it will propel you forward. But that is not what I was saying last week. What I was saying last week was when you're jumping and going off for a long distance aerial, like you are committing to the air specifically. I was somebody that was always holding the right trigger, not the right bumper, not the right bumper, but the right trigger. And the right bumper is my boost. The right trigger is my drive.
So, okay, so you were holding, hold on, okay, just for everyone who might have a different setup on the thing, were you holding the boost too much or were you holding the drive too much?
Drive.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Good for you to explain it, though, because I was clearly not explaining it.
Okay.
Well.
Okay. It has nothing to do with boost at this point. It's all about
the drive
forward button.
I get, no, so the drive forward button, my question was, like, at what point do you tend to like let go of it? I don't know if you consciously are aware. Like, is it as soon as you like get into the air, you let go of it?
It's based on the vibes, as much as that might be an annoying answer. Because when I'm holding the drive button, that means I'm on the ground. And so if I'm holding the drive button, it doesn't matter if I'm, you know, doing a single jump holding that and then flipping into the ball to get a late, like delayed power shot or whatever. That is, in my mind, vibes to me, fully a grounded shot. Mm-hmm. When I'm going up into the air and I plan to stay there for any extended period of time, that's when I let it go. Because at that point, now there's that mental distinction between I am on the ground and I have to recover, and I am in the air and I can do things with the ball, or I can, you know, interrupt my opponents or whatever else it might be. That's okay. that split.
So, and this is like, so I've tried this last week, mm-hmm. So month. I've tried this the last month, mm-hmm. consciously to incorporate this, and it's actually been pretty seamless now. Like I'm actually at a point now. I still actively have to think about doing it, but it doesn't like require a lot of. It doesn't mess me up. Mm-hmm. Like I'm hitting the ball and stuff like that, mm-hmm. as much as I would normally. Maybe is the way to put it. But yeah, I find like once you click the double jump, that's when I let go of the drive.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
No, pretty much.
And then you're just twisty boosting or whatever. Mm-hmm. Here are the two things I found. Okay. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily like. Actually, there's a couple things I found. Okay, let's start with the best thing that I found. I think it helps you shoot more accurately. That's my vibe. Okay.
Yeah. I can't. I don't know why. But I don't disagree.
I'm going to go back to my theory last week and someone can prove if it's wrong. Mm-hmm. But I actually think what ends up happening is if you are holding the drive thing on your twist, it's never consistent. Like it messes like very fractionally or very minimally messes up how your card twists in the air. And I think what
directional arrow or
I don't know with like as if. I think if you keep holding the drive button, it just does some weird thing where it doesn't like it visually doesn't appear as easily. Like it messes with your perception of like where my brain thinks it's gonna hit, and then where it actually hit is always like slightly off.
Interesting. Okay.
That's my theory. I don't. Okay. You can dispute this. You know what? This is a good. We haven't mentioned the Discord, but this would be a good ASAP general. Let's talk about it. Let's see what you think of this theory. But I have found that I've been far more consistent on both accuracy and power. Actually,
power I can see.
And power.
And I think it's probably the same reason.
A power, like I just believe, yeah, accuracy and power, because I believe you hit it where you see it, as opposed to for whatever reason, if I'm hitting the drive thing, it's like always slightly off. So that is my prevailing theory, and it could just be a five things, but it has for whatever reason helped me be a little more consistent both in power and accuracy.
So let me ask, you're talking about this when it comes to flips, right? Like you're flipping through the ball.
No, this is without flips.
Okay, that's what I did want to check.
On flips, I can't. I've done it with. Oh, interesting. I have done a couple shots now because I'm practicing it like actively, and I have found. Actually, here's the really interesting thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Flip canceling is easier if I'm not holding the gas button.
Really? Like,
this could all be placebo, let's be clear.
I'm fairly sure it is, but I also love it.
Yeah. You're like, let's just theorize here.
I've been, for the past like 4 years, early on, I was a big hater of placebo. At this point, I like placebo. I think that you really need to use it, fully dive in, believe it if you want to. I am a placebo believer.
But yeah, I'm like, I tried some flip cancels, is easier. If I learn the speed, because this is a good kind of in beginner's corner. My goal for the whole of 2025,
yes, the year,
is to do a speed flip, which I should have learned like 2 years ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if I learn that faster now, I'll laugh. That's all I'm saying.
I do drive during my speed flip.
Does it help? Does it make it worse? We're gonna find out.
I've never tried not, so I guess now I have to.
You're gonna mess up your speed flip. Just so
I'm gonna mess up the speed flip. Don't worry, I mess up half of them anyway, so it doesn't matter.
It'd be fun. Well, if the placebo helps, and now you're gonna be more consistent in your speed flips.
Yeah.
I think we're just confirming our theory here. Okay.
Yeah.
But there were a couple shots where, like, I didn't hit the boost thing, and then I got, like, some really powerful shots off of a flip, like, flipping into the ball.
Huh.
So it has worked in both ways, but, like, there's always a question, right? Because I'm actively thinking about it, is it letting me concentrate in games I would concentrate less in, maybe? Mm. But in a way that's, like, productive and not, like, I'm overthinking everything. Yeah. Like, I'm still going, but it's like, oh, like... The theory of an empty net is to try to actually hit a side or a corner, because if you give yourself something difficult to do, then your brain like doesn't freak out that it's empty. Yeah. So maybe it's that. Maybe my brain takes the shooting moment seriously, so I'm more consistent in getting shots off because I'm like, oh, I'm doing something like weird by remembering to take off the drive in the air, and then now my brain's like, oh, this shot matters because I'm like, it's like a difficult skill, right? So it could be some of that of like forcing my brain to think again in a very concentrated way, right?
Yeah. No, I like that. I like that as a reason, but that I don't think, like, maybe that's part of it. And I haven't tried, like going for shots and flipping through, like specifically shots where you flip, without holding drive. So I'm coming away with this with things that I want to be doing.
we're now like, this is probably the most niche explored mechanic topic. Like,
I
pros
don't even
never
think so
thought
is
about
the problem
this. Because you think pros have thought about this?
Yes. And
they
the way that I know, well, kind of, and the way that I'm like fairly sure about it is that last week I mentioned the thing of when you get a flip reset and you're holding drive, it's very different depending on which drive, like drive, reverse, or nothing. It's a like distinctly different reaction from your car. All three of those things will have different outcomes as to whether or where your car ends up after the flip. So that alone has been documented. Like, that is a known fact within Rocket League. So I have to assume that the difference between like driving with and without holding the drive button is also present. And I also know for a fact that there are a handful of pros that are have mentioned that they don't drive in the air. Like, they don't use the drive button in the air. I've heard it from, I want to say, three different people, but I could not name them, at least. So this is something that people know about, and it is preference. Like, Jamaican Coconut specifically is one of the people that I know doesn't do this. He does hold the drive button, but outside of him, like, I would almost assume most people don't.
Hmm.
And it's probably just vibes.
All right. Are you? Yeah. I have actually more to say on this topic. You ready?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So now this is where we get into the nitty gritty.
Okay.
Once I finally establish how to do a proper, we'll call it a fast aerial with not hitting the drive button. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have cannoned a little better.
You're better at cannonballing?
Cannonballing. Now here are my prevailing theories.
Mm-hmm.
I perhaps was always bad at cannonballing.
Yes, you were.
Now my platinum self was inherently good at cannonballing because I was the only one doing it.
Yes.
So it was like a free for all.
Yeah, it was just free. No one else was up. Ball was just in air, and you're cannonballing. You're good.
And so I think what it has done is let me cannonball jump slightly fast. Like, I think my brain, by thinking about it consciously again, and this could be a theory to relate to that, but I have, like, because I'll tend to undershoot, I think, if I drive too much, right? I have been a little more consistent about hitting those, like, quote unquote cannonballs, those fast aerials.
Really?
Yeah. So this to me is completely mental, I feel.
Yeah.
I probably have always just undershot, like, in general, like, in percentage wise, I probably always undershoot, like, a fast aerial in that sense.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah.
That would make sense. I'm surprised that you're finding very noticeable things about aerialing that you can improve on at this point. You've always been an aerial player, so I'm surprised that you have so many, like, even starting it off, like, literally jumping, that there's new things that you want to be considering and talking about, or at least practicing.
I think it has allowed me to feel like every game has an adventure in it.
So now, like, you want to think about it.
I want to think about it because it doesn't feel like it's a bad thing to think about. But it, on top of it, it's letting me be, like, it's letting me be a little more, even if I'm playing less, it's letting me be more conscious while I'm playing.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that doesn't completely drain my brain or anything like that. Because I think you run into that problem. Like, if we're actually talking beginner's corner, mm-hmm. I think, like, early on you run into the problem of, I have 50 million things I need to learn, right?
Yep.
And I'm kind of in the predicament of, I can, like, I'm in champ one games, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can safely say with, like, 95% certainty, like, if I were to look at a replay, I'd be like, I can tell you what everyone is doing wrong pretty easily.
Probably.
Yeah, especially myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I'm reinventing the wheel. I mean, like all the marginal gains, quote unquote, like, let's just say some better wave dashes, some better recoveries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some better rotations, like getting smaller boosts more,
mm-hmm.
are, quote unquote, helpful to the general, like, leveling up in the game. But I think there are some broader general things that if you don't do consistently hurt you more, right, than those small mechanical improvements.
What do you mean by that? Like, what?
Like, well, one, not hitting the ball.
Yes.
That's A. Like if you just hit the ball 100% of the time, you will level up. Like, there's no... that's like objectively... Okay. Uh-huh. Like, you'll win 55% of your games if you just hit the ball more times than not.
I hate that it's true. Yep.
I'm not wrong, right? And so, no, like, what ends up happening when I play, like, we played, like, twos and stuff last month or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, what ends up happening? Well, the speed of the game, like, my predictive readability, like, my ability to read the game is worse, so I will miss the ball more because I'll have to go for shots that are harder, and mm-hmm. I know I don't have the time to set up the way I usually do in lower-level lobbies, right?
Yeah.
And so, it's because they're reading me better. Like, I'm so slow to them that they can easily read what I'm about to do. Mm-hmm. And they're already where I'm supposed to be, right? So in theory, if you're like on a wall or already where the ball's about to go, like that is like, once you have a basic level of mechanics, like that is the thing that you need to be able to do, is to constantly be aware of everything that's about to happen in the most predictable manner. To the point actually, like, where I was playing a game, I think it was even like last week or whatever, that there was like a couple times where, like, let's just say, like, I hit the ball into my like teammate who hit it like right back into me, like it was just like a ping pong effect or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like noticing it, I'm like, oh, this is the only time the game state feels like it's changed. Like, the rest of the game has been, like, pretty much completely predictable as to what people are going to do. Like, people are going to hit the ball, and there's, like, we'll say, like, an overall general amount, direction, and power they're going to hit it with.
Yep.
Right? That I can already predict. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, two or three times per game where there's, like, some weird ricochet, some weird 50. The ball shoots unpredictably. And I'm like, oh, this is funny to me because it's completely changed the flow of a game. Right?
Yes. I'm just gonna hop in here on a different point that I've noticed in my games, at least in the twos games, because that's currently in 1500, but the other, my threes, we're not gonna talk about. That is the biggest turnover of possession, which I find so interesting, because all of your offense will change, and like, you'll lose offense when either someone just misses the ball and it's not predicted, and then you just have to run back, or like a weird 50, because by the time you're in that mid to higher GC, I hope at least I can, I'll keep my eye out for it a little bit more. But people are a little bit more aware of the fact that when you're on offense, your goal isn't necessarily to score. It's more about making them go into weird positions so that they panic and then you can score easily. Like, you're not going to get a crazy shot against people that can actually do defense. You're gonna have to make them mess up, and that definitely, like, that's how you actually score in high levels, maybe below literally pros, but even still, depending on who you watch, they're just making the other people mess up. So you're right, it is entirely like, that's the moment when something unpredictable is happening. That's when either the game just completely changes and the game state has to reset, or you lose offense, or that's how you break out of offense. It's just something that somebody who should have been predicting what is happening next wasn't able to.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
It is interesting. It's fun.
Yeah, and I'll even continue on this point, right? Like, one thing I've been noticing on these like lower level lobbies is you get into a state of like three people kind of defending around the net.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so like, people get mad when people demo, but demos are objectively the simplest way to change a game state.
Yes.
Like, that's what it is. Like, why are demos so effective? It's because there's a natural flow to the game and they effectively break something in the rotation of the other team. Or even visibility sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they work in reverse, where the other team has a bad flow and it can reset their flow, which is really funny. So it can work both ways. But in like a situation where they're kind of doing a defensive rotation, just defending in front of their net, it's a super easy way to disrupt that flow. So like every time I see like three cars driving around their own net, I feel obliged to demo. Like that is my, I feel morally correct in demoing during a change of game state. And this is also like times where I will try to bait out, like try to get them to double come in and stuff. And this is where you do the fake shot. Like you don't shoot, you kind of shoot it in like an annoying way. And especially, yeah, pretty much. But especially if you can make it so that they kind of leave their net.
Yep.
As long as you know you have the continual kind of rotation among your team to keep the ball in their zone, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have that pressure going and then you just kind of hit it sideways annoyingly enough, they have a hard... Because it's actually easy for them, like if it's like, okay, person hits the ball, moves on, person hits the ball, moves on. Like, yes, unless like one way to wait is for wait for them to run out of boost, and that in quote unquote changes the game state. But the other way is to just hit it annoyingly, like close enough for them, but where they can't actually hit it well.
Yeah.
And then their rotation, sometimes they'll double commit. Sometimes they'll have a bad hit out. Sometimes they'll pop it up for you. So, I really like where we've gone with this. Cause this is something that I've thought about in the last couple weeks. And I feel like it's something important to note is that every level has its own natural kind of game state, and if you ever feel like there's a game where you can't do anything right, then there's probably some of these things you could be doing right. Like you like even in, let's just say, like a diamond lobby, right, the ball might not be hit as hard, or people aren't necessarily doing as many fancy things or aren't as consistent, but there probably does become a natural state of how people are rotating, right?
So. Yes, no, that's definitely true. And you know, there it's gonna break sometimes, and that will break, or that break will happen with people that are either chasing or just never go. But then,
yeah, when you're that first, sorry, now you got me fired up. When you're that first person who doesn't go, and there's two people waiting behind you, you've changed the game state.
Mm-hmm.
You've made your team objectively worse because you didn't go with two people behind you. Like you're the person who should start the rotation there, and you've created a situation where, like, most people don't stay back post, you know what I mean, for long enough. And if you're like the traffic jam, you've caused the traffic jam, and now your team is struggling what to do. Things I do, like, and that's when I cut a lot of times, actually.
Yeah.
Where people are ruining kind of our natural flow, I'll cut and be like, I'm the first person to this.
Just you guys to force it back into a more traditional flow of someone is going.
This is what a great beginner's core.
Yeah.
Do you have any more on this, Babs?
The only other thing that I'm going to say is that you can use this to your advantage very, very easily. Natural flow, especially sub, I want to say GC3, is like people are just going as fast as possible. And what happens when people go as fast as possible is that they'll almost always be 50ing from the direction of the net. That's the, like, almost always where people are going to go, because, you know, if you listen to Fairy Peak's old classic quote, when you take a 50, your whole goal is to not let the ball in your net. That's it. That's the point of a 50, regardless of where you are on the field. But when you are first to a ball, especially if like you and your opponent or whatever are going towards the same ball, and the expected play is that you hit it forward and they then 50 you because you've hit it forward, just hit it to the side, hit it into the wall. That I've, like, today I did that at least 5 or 6 times, and it led to that person being in our corner for no reason, or their opponent being stuck on net in defense with two people now in offense in like a threatening position because that hit to wall happened in midfield. It's the easiest, lowest skill thing. It's a single touch to your side. Hit it into the wall. And then you'll be beating people constantly. But you do have to be aware of what the traditional and expected flow of the game should be. And then you can break that on purpose to kind of outplay anybody you want. It's great.
Yeah. And here's the tough thing is as soon as I've now mentioned it, I'm going to get into the games and be thinking about this. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to get 5-0-0 games in a row I can't break it.
You do not a single thing. It's great.
Amazing. Okay. With that in mind, I've changed the topic list because this was... Wow, we really found a gem here in this episode. I appreciate
it. We had so many topics.
Beginner's
of course
corner.
It was going to happen.
Perfect. We got a couple quick things, but I think we can now officially save our more general kind of Rocket League 2024 recap for the actual January episode. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into season 17 and how bad it was.
Yes.
Explain, Wabs, which I think everyone who's actually actively playing knows why it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't because I'm just logged in and enjoy like the couple games I play I enjoyed. So you tell me why it's bad, Wabs.
You are aware of why it's bad, and it's bad for one of our patrons, and that's how I'm aware of it. It was the...
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. No, never mind. I do know this fiasco. Yes. Okay.
Please feel free to hop in. I'm not super well-versed in it. But the Xbox quality, like the fact that you couldn't play the game on anything above, I think it was 30 FPS. I think it was 30 FPS, which is insane that it fully capped it to like the game itself to a basically unplayable level for most people. And I think there might have been some other things that I'm not entirely sure of. Where it's just like, how is... probably more than like probably a third of the player base by what I would assume. There's the three platforms, PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. So how is a third of your platform just broken with a season update? They don't really do anything in season updates. Like it must have been the online free play, but like I don't even know how. I'm genuinely interested to see how that did occur and how it lasted for, I think it was almost a month. It has been fixed from what I'm aware of. And then I do the one little extra thing on this is that I do actually like that they gave some stuff back to everybody for anybody that was impacted by this or not, whether you knew that all of the people playing on Xbox were struggling or not. You did get your two exotics and your black market decal and your season 17 launch survivor player title.
Of course.
So I like that they nodded, like they gave the, you know, this was our bad fully. I'd have no idea how this happened, but you know,
hopefully... How small do you think like the Rocket League team is now?
The Rocket League team? Oh no. I don't know how small it was originally.
I just feel like they've made some great improvements in the last little bit, but mm-hmm. like the reason there's such a slow response is because this is just like a small team. You know what I mean?
It could be that, or it could have actually been like a very game breaking bug that
they had to, yeah.
Yeah, like things really had to be changed and fixed to make it work.
Somebody structurally didn't plan.
Maybe. Like, I don't actually know.
No, of course.
So yeah, because I wonder, just because it was FPS and it came out with the only actual change being the online free play, like I wonder if there was something very weird that happened that kind of caused like either a integer overflow or whatever else, like something fully broke in the game itself, and they were like, what weird bugs existing in online spaces. They should have caught it ahead of time though. I'm just going to put that out there.
Oh no, 100%. That means something in the testing didn't go right as well,
yep.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems like okay. The biggest.
That's good. That was good of you to go over. Yes. We had one of our listeners have a tough time with it. So,
and I'm sure a handful of you also did.
Of course. Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. We empathize with you here. Even though I don't sound like it, it sucks that the game that you want to play, you can't play for a month, right? Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
not me being like, hey, let me know when you can play the Chaos Maker, because restarting ranks is always bad and I always struggle with that.
Oh, of course. We're gonna move on just because I have a cough that I'm trying to deal with here. Mm-hmm. So I only got so much more in me here. Yep. Last thing for this episode, we got some team news. Wabs, what's some team news? Should I start with the news that everyone quote unquote is talking about?
Sure.
And by everyone, I mean Cruncho posting his own team.
Yes.
So there he is, Cruncho, the roster announcement. Yes, yes, Cruncho, the mechanic finding, Portugal riding. I don't know. Oh my goodness. I clicked on. They have a trailer.
They have a trailer.
This is ridiculous. I do kind of want to know. This has gotten 28 likes. So,
ooh, well done.
Cruncho might have more clout than us in the Rocket League community. That's all I'm saying. All right.
I can see it.
Not wrong. More hate as well. So,
definitely more hate.
You got to, like, if we were just a little more controversial, we could have established a slightly bigger niche audience and got rid of our more general audience, you know? Like, that's, we could like really hone in on gaining 100 listeners but losing, you know, 400 other ones. Like, yeah. I think that would be a good
basis. That's a good play. I like that.
But then we have to be those characters all the time, and I don't know if we could do it, Webs.
And welcome to our plans for the next year in as the ASAP Rocket League show.
The ASAP Rocket League show is going to be a different beast, okay? Yeah.
We got Squishy rid of weekly. Sucks. We got rid of friendliness.
Okay. AJ sucks.
You've already said that Squishy sucks.
No, perfect. Perfect. Okay. Well, no, but now I have to keep that care. That was something called foreshadowing. Okay.
Okay.
To this character, because that was already me playing a character. So okay. I need to now continue that character, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cruncho does not suck, actually is awesome.
Cruncho good.
Okay. Surprise most controversial opinion I could say.
Yeah.
Actually an agreeable, nice person, Cruncho. I'll get more hate for that comment. Like, Squishy sucks. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true. You deserve it. So
okay, actual team news.
Starting back on, I guess, early December. Let's just start there because I don't know when the last thing was.
Yeah.
Thoaski and Riziers, which I actually really like that a lot. That's a good one. But it is an APAC, and I'm pretty sure... Were they there last year?
Here, I'm gonna join you here in the good old Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Transfer.
I'm not sure which team. Let me check. I don't think I know what team they're on. But Thoaski and Riziers is the. They're looking for an organization, and they are going to be in APAC. So, you know, it's two Dutch people and a German in APAC. So don't love that. They should probably, I don't know what's going on in their lives, but I think an Ocelot, not Oski, and Riziers, I think.
Oh my goodness. There are so many things to catch up on. Sorry. yes.
Yeah. I think all of them were playing in EU. So, you know, I am not necessarily happy with the fact that they're going to APAC unless there is some other reason for it. Do you have other things to say?
No, keep going.
Okay. Next thing, have you watched the Arsenal video?
I have not. That is the thing we briefly talked about. Did you end up watching it as well?
No, I didn't. I forgot to watch it. But
wow, we're the worst.
We are the worst. Welcome to our news, our Rocket League news.
Go watch Arsenal's YouTube thing.
Go watch Arsenal's YouTube
thing. If you care about Arsenal, there you go.
Yep. He's done. He's out. We'll see where he goes. I assume in the realm of content creation, as the vast majority of ex-pros do. But I'm sure it's explained in the video. I don't want to speculate because the answers are there. Next bit that I know for confirmed. Was NIP confirmed? I don't... Yes. NIP is...
Oh, you're not using the transfers list.
No, I'm not using the transfers list.
I'm very confused. Okay, yeah, that's fine. You're good. Do your.
Were they not confirmed?
No. Keep going. I feel like the NRG one is like probably one of the biggest teams there. But
oh, that happened before this. Oh my god, no, that happened after.
After. Sorry, that's what I'm looking forward to. That's all I'm saying.
Oh yes. So that one I guess hasn't been confirmed with Ryze, Nupo, and Atomic. But we'll see if that ends up happening. I think they're in Mena. Yeah. Oh, for Twisted Minds. That's the team. We'll see if that ends up coming out. If it hasn't been confirmed by now, I'm going to assume no. Mm-hmm. But the energy then is your actual big news that we have to talk about. It's the same team. It's Beast Mode, Daniel, and Atomic. But now they're energy. Energy's back.
I mean, we didn't really think energy was be gone that long. Like, I'm not...
No. And they've always been a part of the scene, and now they actually have a team that can compete for the first time in a while.
I also want to make mention how many January 1st teams have been announced, even if they're not necessarily all higher end teams.
Ooh, but I'm really? Like
them contracts January 1st. Let's go.
You're right. They'd start on the month, started on the year.
Yeah, exactly 1 year.
Yep. 2 years-ish from now is going to be a big fiasco, I'm sure.
Well, a year or two from now, they'll be December, hey, looking for a team. Yep. And the cycle continues. Do you see any other teams that really stand out to you at this point?
Andy Gyro, Wavy. That one's going to be good.
Top eight.
Yeah, some of these teams might be pushing into the top eight. So I might.
Nah, squishy supremacy. Might.
Okay. I still think they're top eight, but top eight NA. but there is some more competition. NIP was confirmed, by the way. I was right about that one with Nasatachi and Oski. And that's it other than Alpha Caps Research.
There you go.
Is there anything else on the Liquipedias that you want to say?
No, I think I'm probably good here. Yeah.
Do you know NIP is playing in EU, right?
I do know there's an earlier announcement when it was either.
Okay, because it's Nasatachi, Oski, who are all EU for sure. But NIP, the org, has tended to stay in South America, so I do wonder.
Right? Yeah, all their former are Brazilian players.
So I do wonder. I assume they're just moving to EU.
Yeah, I think they'll just be in EU.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. If your team is based there. It's also like the best competition. Like if you want your team to get better.
Well, yes, it is the best competition, but South America, not necessarily one to sleep on.
Oh, you're right. No. But what I'm saying is like, if I choose EU or NA, like I'd want my team in EU because being fifth in EU or fourth in EU is probably better than being first in NA. No.
Yeah. Second. We'll see.
Oh, no. Yep. Whatever it is, right? Like the 1 through 16 in EU is 100% better competition, and especially for a team like if you have Itachi Nasadowski on your team, like I don't think this is like a lower end team, right?
No, they're definitely going to be competing.
You want competition as opposed to necessarily an easy ride.
True.
Just for the later stage, like if you're like a slightly weaker team, you might want the easier win, but I think they're very much in the mix there in EU.
Cough, cough, APAC roaster of the Ocelon and Resurge.
Yeah, exactly. No, perfect. I really enjoyed this episode of Abs.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the very in-depth research that AlphaCap did?
Oh, please do. Please do. Yeah.
The incredibly in-depth research of individual points on a graph of player count and dates. Not necessarily even remotely close to...
Sorry, are we actually attacking one of our listeners? Is that what's happening right now?
It's AlphaCap, so no.
Oh, no, but we had a listener that was very in tune with it,
True. This, all that I'll say is that Alpha Kev himself is like, this is not conclusive. It's not high quality data. We have like 12 points over 4 years.
Ty Swiggles, I get the sentiment, but this is not high quality research.
It's not. 12 points over 4 years. You can do better.
Okay. So essentially the rough... Sorry, the fact that detail research is in the thing is crazy. Our game held depends on the esport. Duh. sorry.
The interesting thing is that it's the other way around apparently for other games.
Where the esport doesn't influence
that the esport is more influenced by the general like feelings of the game. Or the viewership of the esport is more influenced by the feelings of the game rather than the game itself being influenced by how well the pro scene is being done.
Actually, okay, you've made me think now. I'm trying to think like if Rocket League doesn't have an esport at all, do people just keep playing the game as a fun game from time to time?
I assume there's a base minimum.
I think there's definitely a floor, yeah.
Yeah, in the same way that like any other game would as well, but... I would expect for like what something like League. I mean they
have the biggest like the esports so big,
yeah.
But League would not die out if they stopped doing all esports things. The game would still last another 10 years.
That's what I would expect. Like I do genuinely believe that the esport of LCS does better. Based on how people are feeling about the game rather than the game itself doing better based on how people are feeling about the esport.
And so like ultimately what it means is like, I think every esport it serves as a continuation of a game that's been out for a long time. I think that's a fair statement to say.
Yep.
Like if you have a healthy esport, then your game is quote unquote alive and not like, I think the toughest thing is when the esports, like there's no esport section, like games kind of just disappear sometimes. Right.
Yeah. For sure.
If you don't have and it doesn't have to be like official representation, but just some kind of community, some kind of like things that make it feel like you're not by yourself. I think that's where, like, I don't care how good a game is. I mean, like, there's games that you go back to play single player, and that's its own kind of, you know, thing.
Yep.
But these kind of multiplayer online games require community, or else they disappear. And communities usually foster through some kind of competition. So
yes,
for sure. It's not wrong to say, okay, like yes, because I mean, essentially the argument is, oh yeah, let's super invest into esports, right? Because it's this thing that's keeping the game alive. And it's like, well, from Epic Games perspective, they're like, we have a floor of players that are going to play this. We want everything within the Epic kind of, you know, cult like environment, right? Mm-hmm. And actually it doesn't matter, like we're not going to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars.
So I think what this graph, which, you know, I did laugh about the fact that it's 12 points over 4 years, but it does kind of tend to show there is a trend line, or some trends that are being visually represented, that the esport have being under strain, let's say, like people not enjoying the esport, people being bored of the esport, people having too much of it or too little, does noticeably impact player count. And I think that is something to like for Epic to take note of. And, you know, obviously I'm sure they do their own like internal research on this, and they have much better data points and stuff.
They have 13 points.
Yeah, I guess
they, that's all. You might, some might say they might have 13.
So if Epic were to do like conduct their own internal review of this, then if that trend does show that there's a massive relation between how the esport is performing, and specifically I assume viewership, and how the game is being played, like how much people are playing the game, then that is a like, that's the or not necessarily like not the way that video games have gone in the past, and so they should actually be putting more effort into the esport and ensuring that the viewers, players, whatever else, are satisfied and happy with the direction and the like the way that the esport is developing, because it has a direct impact on the game itself and how much people are enjoying the game, or at the very least playing.
That's true. If you watch like an like a competition, then you're more likely to play. Like I think that's true, right? So yeah.
But again, like for League, let's say, if
I'm just wondering, like someone like me, right? Which is, I've become a casual. Like, that's just what it is, right? Mm-hmm. Me hopping on to play at this point will not be impacted at all by the esport.
Yes.
And so the people who are hardcores are probably the ones also watching the esport. So it's
hardcores, but I also do think that, like the true casuals, because you were hardcore and are now casual.
So there's like an in between there that, yeah, okay. Essentially, yes, obviously the more there is of the esport, there's like a chance of bringing, I don't think it necessarily brings in new players, but it will for sure retain players. And if you want the game to continue another 10 years, you want that retention. So,
but what I mean by like the true casual is someone that sees a tournament on Twitch and is like, hey, I'll watch 5 minutes of this. And then they're like, you know what? I remember this game now. I completely forgot this game existed. Like the actual casuals. And then if they remember that the game existed, then at some point, maybe there's a chance that they actually play.
Hop on with their friends.
Yeah. That was me 7-8 years ago. I think I've said this before, but like the first 4 years of Rocket League, I was a casual, in that I would play for like a week and I would play a lot for a week, and then I wouldn't play for 6 to 8 months and then I would play a lot for a week, and there was just some thought, like something brought up the idea and I was like, oh, I should play Rocket League. That was a fun game. I forgot about that one. And then at some point, I guess around 2018 or 2019, then I was like, oh, I should actually play this game. I really enjoy it. Let's keep on going. And I think that was like that the person I was before 2018 or 2019, that is who I think can be very directly impacted by the existence and popularity of the esport. And I think that's a lot of people in Rocket League.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. Yeah, I got nothing to add. Yeah, I got nothing to add.
I would like to see a more well-founded
data. I like 100 points. I want, and it has to be at this point, it's got to be AlphaCat.
Yeah. Give me the real data.
Yeah. It's got to be you now. Like you've put yourself in that position. You now have to redeem yourself. Anyway, we're going to end the show here. Thank you, Abs, for being so insightful and great. I feel like this was a fun episode to be on my end. I honestly think if my throat wasn't dying here with the cough, I would have been a little more helpful in the last couple minutes.
Nah, you're good. You got to survive.
We're gonna close off the show with homework for the next month, or well, it might be sooner because we do want to get the January episode up in January, hopefully.
Maybe we'll start in February.
Okay, all right. What we'll say is thank you all for listening. Your homework, should you choose to accept it, I'm trying to think of something clever. Do you have something clever, Wabs?
If you happen to be conducting research and using data, try to have more than 13 points. Do your best.
Everyone can be a scientist, but it doesn't necessarily make you a good one. And with that, we'll see you next time. Peace.
Bye.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.